music plays, and then I say, "Hey, everybody, it's Boss Barrel Radio, episode 165. My name is Griff Hoffman, and with me is Jeff Brewer. Say your name."
My name.
Wait.
And, of course, also joined by Dr. James Scherer, Esquire.
My name is...
So your name.
My name is Jeff Brewer.
Damn it, no.
My name is Judd.
Now they're going to be confused.
My name is Griffin Hoffman. This is my podcast. Welcome to my podcast.
You can have it. I'm done with
it. If you have any questions, just let me know, because it's my podcast.
Can we cut it and let Jamie just play all three of us?
Yeah. Right,
perfect.
I'm just going to do Jamie's track three times.
Nice.
But slightly out of sync.
My name's Jeff, and I love Nintendo. My name's Griffin, and I like weird games that you've never heard of. And I'm going to play them a lot.
He's really just capturing the heart and soul of both of us.
Yep.
You nailed it. Wow, yeah. I thought you were going to go a lot of directions.
My name's Jamie, and I like child pornography.
Cut it now.
I'll be safe forever.
Send it
that's
to the
my new ring. That's my new ringtone.
Jamie, this is a sting operation. You're going to jail
for
a long time.
Jared told me that I would be safe.
A podcast, technically, are international waters, right? We're broadcasting from, like, an oil rig in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
When you go for your hearing to become head doctor of all the doctors, they're going to play this tape. And you're going to be hauled away unceremoniously.
No, I'll get a bonus. We love your work. We believe in your cause. That's what they'll say.
Well, they want that because they don't want Subway to come and, like, pilfer you and snipe you.
Exactly. I mean, that's where all the talent is going these days. It's big, you know.
Subway endorsements.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. That's true. That's true.
Silicon Valley, like sandwich artists, and doctors.
Because after those all, what's the point of living if you can't eat fresh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I bought Steam Link because last weekend I had a test. And what happens when you have a test in med school is you get emotional, and then you're like, how can these emotions go away? And then you say, I can buy something, and then all the emotions will go away.
And just add a small mound to the mountain of debt that I already have.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to do. Because everything I buy costs like 30 times what it actually will cost to me in the future. But that's future me.
It's just a drop in the bucket
exactly.
At this point.
Yeah.
That's future me. I'm current me. Current me needs the Lamborghini with the seats with my name inscribed on them. So that's what I'm going
to do. The Lamborghini mouse.
Exactly.
The Lamborghini Gallardo, as they say in rap songs.
So I went and I bought this Steam Link from GameStop, of all places, where I re-upped my GameStop membership.
Yeah.
For reasons.
Did you get the strategy guide for the Steam Link?
Did you get the product protection plan?
which is the cost of the Steam Link.
The product protection plan is, yeah, we promise that...
You just buy a second one there? Yeah.
But if I pour chocolate milk...
will punch you in the belly.
If I pour chocolate milk all over it, it's fine. I just bring it back.
They'll give you an old, busted, used one to replace it.
Oh, no. That room... Like, Best Buy used to have the best, like, protection plans. They were stupid. Like, you could do anything to it, and they're like, yeah, if you bring it back, we'll replace it with whatever we got that's the closest match. And I think I had that happen with a PSP once, and it broke, and I brought it back, and they're just like, yeah, take any PSP. This one comes with a bunch of games. And I'm like, okay.
They were like, hey, Joe, this guy bought the product protection plan. They all just start laughing.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, give him a free console.
I thought you were going to say after they tell you that you can have something in the store that's like more closely approximates the product. Like you take it back and they give you like a microwave and you're like, it's the same.
Oh, sorry, we're out of PSPs. Here's your dirt devil.
So I bought
it. Would you like a Tiger.com handheld?
So I bought it.
GameCom, sorry. Go on.
Jesus, Jeff, get it right. That's what we need. So I got it and I brought it home and I hooked it up and it worked, but it was like the worst. And it was like super slow because I wasn't using it directly like with a wire like you're supposed to do.
Mm.
I just had it running over Wi-Fi, which I was like, I have pretty good Wi-Fi, maybe this will work. And no, it won't work.
Jamie, did you open your ports?
I opened my ports. I did all the stuff.
Were they forward and backwards?
They were, like, basically, it was like the big dig,
yeah.
But ports. Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
What I did.
All right, yeah. All right.
Did you reticulate your splines?
That's only for The Sims, Griffin.
Oh,
so it was like the colors were bad and it was so laggy and it was awful. So then I decided, you know what would be cool if I just had a giant LAN cable. And I was like, but that is annoying because giant LAN cables are annoying. And I already have a 25-foot HDMI cable, so there's really no point. But then I decided to go into this power line adapter world, and I got this power line adapter. The power line adapter works great. But even with that, Steam Link still is awful. And it just is absolute garbage, and no one should ever buy it. And I brought it back to GameStop after looking online and seeing, like, can I return this to GameStop? And everyone was like, no, you can't. And I was like, all right, I'll try anyway. So I brought it back to GameStop. The guy sees me come in because he was the one who sold it to me, like, a couple
hours. He just books it. He just runs. He's like,
he presses the button and the bars come down, but you get in the door and you pull your hat through at the last minute.
He was actually the one online writing all those answers, like, no, you totally can't return it. No, James, totally can't return it.
James, you can't return it, James. No, so I walk in. I walk back in and the guy sees me come in and he yells from across the GameStop. He's like, I knew you'd be back. I was like, okay. And he's like, I was like, how did you know that? And he's like, the thing's a piece of shit. I was like, yep, you are correct. And I was like, can I return it? And he's like, I'm not supposed to do that, but I will, because I hate it.
He hates it precisely because it's a Steam product, probably.
So I returned it, and he let me return it. It was fine. So,
have you been in a GameStop when they were hating on Steam?
No.
They will do that, and it's pretty funny.
That sounds like, terrible.
Yeah, they give like all the boilerplate. Like, why would you want all your games tied to one service? Which is a good argument, but it's just hilarious because it's like, wow, you guys really have drunk the Kool-Aid, haven't you?
Yeah.
For your shitty minimum wage job.
There was a great culling of GameStops around here. It went literally cut it in half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now the ones that were doing okay.
They
probably because they took that one return, Jamie. that one return just destroyed their bottom line.
Damn it.
No, you've done God's work. Bless you.
So that's my story.
It's a good story.
Powerline AV2.
Have you tried in-home streaming, Jamie?
What that?
Steam in-home streaming.
What did that?
That's just what you did with the Steam Link, except on a normal computer.
What that?
Griffin, have you tried it?
Uh-uh. All right,
I've tried it, and it actually ran really well on my Surface.
But wait, with what? What would I stream it to?
I stream it to my Surface. So I played a little bit of Fallout 4 streamed to my Surface.
Ugh, why?
Just because I couldn't go to my computer in that moment.
Griffin, that was a great reaction.
It's not bad. It's not perfect, but it's actually pretty solid. You know, very.
How was the touch controls?
The Fallout touch controls on my Surface.
Yeah, how did that great. Work?
No, I used a controller, but I just had it running on the other device. It's pretty seamless. And I played a little XCOM on there that way too. There are definitely occasional hitches, but it was pretty consistent for the most part. So I just wonder if Steam Link is underpowered or what.
Hmm. Is it so? It goes through like your Wi-Fi or whatever. You're like essentially putting all the heavy lifting on the computer, and then you're sending that to your
through your home Wi-Fi other device. Yes. So it's limited by the your home infrastructure basically. Like, so if you have the right cables and the right router and everything, then you can.
Have you ever considered that it's working so well for you because you're the only person in Maine with Wi-Fi?
The rest of the people in Maine, their claws don't enable them to actually hook up Ethernet cords.
The pincers always cut them.
Snap them in half.
The Steam VR like official thing actually says like no, the best way to use this is you take a LAN cable from your computer and you plug it into the Steam Link, and then you take a LAN cable out of the Steam Link and you plug it into your TV, or you take the and then you take the HDMI and you plug in your TV, and it's like, well, then why don't I just have a giant HDMI cable? It's ridiculous.
Why don't you, Jamie?
I do.
You little piece of shit. I don't know. It always seemed like a product that was... But can't you plug it into your router and then plug from your router into your PC? Doesn't that work? Or do you literally need to have a LAN cable going directly from your PC to your... No, that doesn't make any sense. For me, it would be sensible. Like, for me, I would not want to have a big, giant HDMI cable running down my setup.
Yeah, for some people, depending on how your home is set up, I'm sure it makes sense. Yeah, but for most of us who rely on Wi-Fi, I don't think you're going to get the kind of, like, responsive experience that you would like. The weirdest thing is that, like, the colors take a hit, which was so weird. It was like looking at an SNES trying to represent the colors coming out of my computer.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
I have noticed that there is compression. Like, there will be artifacting and compression, but it seems to be pretty variable, and, like, it when it's running well, when the connection is stable. The problem is it's susceptible to interference, which is a big issue. So, like, if Jessica wants to, like, watch Netflix, then I'm just boned. So gotcha. It's pretty much useless. It's really just one of those things to have. It's nice to have, but it's not actually worth anything.
Yeah. But,
so is the takeaway here yet another Steam product that is half-baked and doesn't do what it promised?
I would say yes. I would say I'm pretty unapologetic about the Steam Link after my experience with it. Like, I have fast VR. It even tells you when you set it, or what am I saying? I have fast Wi-Fi. It even tells you when you're setting it up, like, your Wi-Fi is strong and it's going to be good and everything's cool. And then when...
Please don't return me. Please. It's your fault, not mine.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. I don't know why. All that Steam stuff, people get so excited about it, but it's like, it's such a long shot, each and every product they've been putting out.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that Vive, man. That's where it's at. People are going nuts about that.
Yeah, it's
and it's
weird.
Sold out immediately. Because...
Yeah, except I wonder when it actually hits the shelves and people spend some time with it and it ends up turning out to be nonsense.
Yep.
Like, almost everything.
Yep. I'm not confident about VR, but... Anyway, we don't have to get into that right.
Smart Glass?
Right,
not Smart Glass.
That's all HoloLens. That's the only one.
HoloLens, yes. That's where I'm hitching my wagon.
I'm going to watch Minecraft on a small end table.
Mm-hmm. I want my reality augmented, not virtualized.
Oh,
that's what those pills say, at least.
Extends?
Yep. Right.
Do they still run Extends commercials? Is that a thing? Is that guy still really excited
still
and
emails.
Like playing golf really vigorously and like?
Oh, you talking about Bob?
Yeah,
you're talking
about Bob. Oh no, he's Enzyte.
Is that
Enzyte?
No, that's Enzyte.
I'm sorry.
He died, you know, right? Like,
wait, really?
His erection did last more than 4 hours, and he's dead. just instantly, he OD'd on he had Extends and Enzyte. He made a cocktail, and then, well, pun intended there. Yes.
Little
that was the end of his cocktail.
If your erection lasts longer
that?
Than 4 hours, your penis just immediately just falls to the ground. Detaches from your body and just shrivels into a husk and falls to the ground.
I thought it like reaches escape velocity, like it just rockets off of you.
You just fly into space.
You do.
You flew too close to the sun, but you landed among the stars.
That's what The Martian was about, right?
I think so, yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just Matt Damon's penis. Jamie, how was The Martian that you saw and the rest of us didn't?
It was a fabulous movie, actually.
Yep.
A lot of Matt Damon. I mean, if you like Matt Damon, if you want to watch Matt Damon make, like, YouTube videos, then it's your movie.
Except they're not about
only if he's playing over Minecraft.
What?
Warcraft?
I said only if he's playing over Minecraft.
He basically is playing Minecraft because he's literally, like, reconstructing his little base and he's, like, farming shit and he's, like, growing food and, you know, you get to see him, you get to see his butt at one point, which
Ooh.
Is nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I was going
to
say,
does he have to fight a creeper?
Yeah, the creeper is his own impending doom and insanity.
Are there voxels?
Loads of voxels.
All right, good. I won't watch it if there aren't voxels.
There's, permadeath. Yeah. There's permadeath, yep.
PvP. All right. So we're gonna talk about video games?
That was like a podcast ending, all right. I have expected you to just be like, I'm out.
Well, see you guys. All right, episode 166. Here we go.
65. 66.
No, we just ended it. We're done. Oh, okay. With 65. We ended it.
No, we're going back. Yeah, we're doing the addendum right now. We're adding this in post. We're going to actually supplemental. Slot this right before the all right.
Okay. This is episode 165.2.
Yes. 165.33. You cannot advance.
Oh.
Wait, no. What is the current one? They have great names.
Jelly Belly.
Evangelion 3.33, but, Jelly Belly.
That's a great Smashing Pumpkins song.
Evangelion 3.33, Jelly Belly,
Smashing Pumpkins.
Billy Corgan edition.
Oh, man.
All right, so you guys, the people demand it. We are to talk
Griffin,
about video
games, you're going
guys.
Through time and space over there.
Well,
are you sorry. Quantum tunneling on your PC right now?
Yeah, I flushed my source code.
Whoa, Scott Bakula.
he's entered the Omniverse for a brief moment. He
maybe
was more than
better?
Just a voice.
I don't hear you guys.
He
now.
Was
That's
all the voices.
Yes.
Did you know that an ohm actually sounds like Scott dang. Bakula?
Never happened before.
No, I did not.
Oh,
know
they're
that.
Back. There, thank God. Everything's fine.
Griffin, we're just going to keep talking. While
yeah,
you,
we're gonna.
That's
you
great. Don't stop talking.
Problems. So, Jamie, tell me about ohms and Scott Bakula.
So,
how do you know this? Is this a real fact?
No.
Damn it! You shut your mouth.
I wish it were real.
I was like, I didn't know ohms had sound. But if gravitational waves have sound, then maybe an ohm does.
Well, there's two definitions of an ohm. An ohm is a measure of impedance, I believe, and mm-hmm. then it's also mm-hmm. supposed to be in like a more colloquial like sense, and the ohm is supposed to be the
Omarosa.
Summation of the summation of all sounds in the universe.
Oh, I gotcha.
So if
like
you,
the yoga thing.
So if you yeah. sum all sounds in the universe,
it's
you
Scott
will
Bakula.
Hear Scott Bakula talking.
Huh.
And it'll be like a really shitty episode of Enterprise.
I have never seen Enterprise. I need to watch more Star Trek, man. Jamie, teach me how to watch it.
Start with...
Step one, don't watch Enterprise.
Yeah. Great advice.
Mm-hmm.
Watch Enterprise 10 years from now when you've exhausted everything else and you feel sad and alone.
All right.
Then watch Enterprise.
Let me explain to you how to actually do this. You have to go back in time and watch it as it was airing on television, because at this point, there's too much media in the world, and we're all just screwed, and we'll never catch up with anything ever.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yep.
One day I will watch it, though. Hey,
so
I did finish Twin Peaks. That was an achievement.
Nice.
Huh. Nice. Yeah.
So you know how all the Star Treks have these theme songs that are like beautiful, swelling, orchestral... You know, scores.
Uh-huh.
Sure, why not?
Okay, so they all have these beautiful, like, nice orchestral scores, except for Enterprise. And Enterprise had a country song. Uh-huh. A country song, which I know by heart, and will sing right now.
Go.
It's been a long road, getting from there to here. It's been a long time. But my time is finally here, and I will see my dreams come alive at night. I will touch the sky, and they're not gonna hold me down no more. They're not gonna change my mind, 'cause I've got faith of the heart. I'm going where my heart will take me. I've got faith to believe. Okay, I'm just gonna stop there. That is literally the song.
Jamie, when do they start talking about the Arabs?
Episode one.
All right, that was episode 166. Copyright infringement pending. We'll see you 167. Nice work.
Wait,
good job,
we
guys.
Need to go back to Child Ball Station.
Nope.
Oh
my God.
Hey, Jamie, tell me about a game you've played recently.
Hey, have you heard of Tomb Raider?
Nah, what's that?
Ugh, God.
Tomb Raider is like this game where it's like you're on a farm and it's like 2D and like you're trying to like you're making a community in your farm and like it's big on Steam right now. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Tomb Raider. Sunlight Kiss Do.
No, yeah, I played a little bit more Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is still the same. I continue to have fun with it, but I'm also a little underwhelmed with it. I'm realizing that a lot of the puzzles just feel like I'm a tiny marble in a huge, ridiculous Rube Goldberg machine. And it's just like some of them are so silly. Like one of the puzzles is there's this huge monastery, and you're trying to get the door, the front door to the huge monastery.
You're trying to get this
open.
Tiny marble out of the monastery.
Oh, God.
What the fuck?
Griffin briefly transmogrified into an interstellar space wizard and then turned back. He was cast in an incantation.
He sounds like a baby Daft Punk robot.
Okay, I switched off Wi-Fi. I'm on LTE, but I guess that's really
oh
bad.
Great. This is gonna be perfect.
Yeah. Just go. I can hear you guys fine. I don't know what the problem is.
Griffin, are you a robot that's just learned to love?
Learned to love?
Yes.
Oh my god. It sounds like every time you begin to speak, you get shot by a laser gun and disintegrate.
Alright, well then I'll tone it back and you guys talk about Tomb Raider.
I'll just interject
robot noises.
Please do.
Oh, man.
Griffin, can you say Aniplex? No. Alright. That might have been a little too inside for you guys. When they do the Aniplex, they're like, Aniplex! And it sounds like a robot, so you
What the hell are you talking about?
What is Aniplex?
I think it's some animation studio. And or, like, Funimation type thing.
Is this like hentai? What are we saying here?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
It's just anime porn.
No, it sounds familiar. Is it like, Aniplex or something?
Yes, exactly. I don't remember, okay. It was some Adult Swim show from back in the day, but I don't remember which one.
Is it like the thing that happens before movies?
Sure, why not?
Like you go to a movie theater?
I mean, okay. Yeah, it happens to all guys sometimes, I guess. All right. Griffin's retreated to the ethereal plane again. So, Jamie, Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, so there's this puzzle where you're trying to get the door to this monastery open, and this was attempted previously by Soviets.
Oh,
and
shit.
So, yes.
I'll bet you they met an unfortunate end.
They did, you know. So there's like three trucks that have like pulleys attached to the front door of this monastery, but the roads in between the trucks and the monastery have collapsed. So you're like climbing on ropes going between like these trucks, and you're like making the trucks fall off the ledges, and they're swinging like pendulums, and you're filling up giant vats with water, and the water is splashing and hitting the trucks, and then the trucks are it's ridiculous, and it's like can't you just come up with like a decent like line puzzle or something? Like, can't we just get Jonathan Blow in here and then he can make you some line puzzles, and then I can just spend the rest of my time just exploring and shooting.
Wait, so is the water falling into the barrels integral to you opening the monastery? Like, do you have to make the water fall in the barrels to open the monastery door?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes.
That's so dumb. Is the monastery door comically oversized, like, so that no human could ever open it?
Uh-huh.
That shit drives me bananas. It's like, why? It doesn't make any sense. Were there giants previously in this monastery? I don't get it.
Exactly. They waste this incredible engine on these environments that look completely fake. And it's like...
Where they should be focusing on the hair.
Exactly.
So true.
And it kind of drives me nuts. Anyway, that's that game. I played a shitload of Fire Emblem Fates Conquest. I'm on the second to last mission now.
Oh,
that
shit.
Game's really hard.
Yeah, it is. Especially the later missions. Holy shit. I am on 23, Jamie. I don't know if you remember that one. The one with the wall.
The wall. Like, you're going up the wall?
Yeah. There's all the different points when you can, like, kind of go up the sides into the wall or whatever.
And it's a bunch of faceless, right?
No, that one wasn't too bad. That one I beat on my second try. This is two missions after that.
I hear if you play that backwards, you can hear the devil talking to you.
No, this is the one where, you're fighting the Hoshidans, and you're like in their castle, and it's like the Great Wall of China.
Oh, I think I vaguely
China.
Griffin just come in to say vagina in a robot voice.
I think he said China actually.
Oh. No, I like Jamie's idea better. We'll go with it. I'll just edit that in post and click. There we go. Episode 170 ready.
Nice.
But yeah, it's real tough. I have another question for you, Jamie, actually. Do they have skills? Do the dudes have skills? Do all the dudes have skills?
What are you talking about?
Do the enemies have skills that you have to worry about?
What are you talking about?
All right, tell me about the game. Tell me what you think about it, Jamie.
I don't know. Well, this kind of summarizes what I feel about it, because there's so much going on in the game that I just don't understand. Like,
I think what Jeff's trying to ask is, Jamie, do you even vape?
Like, when I hate this type of game. Like, when you buy a weapon in an RPG, and you're in the store, and you're looking at the weapon, a screen should pop up, and it should say very clearly, this weapon is either better or worse than the weapon you currently have equipped for this person. If that doesn't happen, and if in addition to that, there's a whole bunch of stats for each weapon that you don't understand and are never explained, it's like the worst. And I can't get through. I don't know what weapons are good. I end up loading up all my characters with a whole bunch of different weapons because I don't know which one's going to work in what situation.
That's so odd, like, that you're having that particular issue.
Yeah, how did you not get the, not get the strategy guide?
Jimmy, don't you know what MT is? Come on, MT.
I know that MT is basically the most important one. And the higher
What can we talk about what the hell MT means? Why? How does that even equate to attack power on any level?
I don't know.
It's bizarre. go ahead.
I found that you can buy a weapon with high MT, and it might not be the weapon that, in a certain circumstance, does the most damage.
Are you aware that there's a thing underneath on the bottom that tells you, like, what it does?
There's, like, a rock, paper, scissors mentality to, like, what defeats what better, too?
No. When you buy the weapon, there's a little text crawl on the bottom that explains the effects.
Yeah,
but it never explains them well. It's always like, Avo minus three if bird.
No, you're right. It's like, it may reduce the frequency of counterattacks. You're like, for me or for them?
Something that you guys should probably both know is that if your speed is five greater than the enemy's, you will double attack them.
Yeah, I got that.
So if you have effective speed minus three, it means that when you're in an attack, it treats it as if your speed was 3 points lower. So maybe it would cost you an opportunity to double. Mm-hmm. That seems like the most confusing part. What else is confusing?
No, I'm telling you, man, you can have like three weapons on a dude.
Yeah.
And he can have the weapon proficiency to use them all. And they can not have any special effects. Like, it can be like the bronze one, the steel one, and I don't know what another one. And you would think clearly the highest, most expensive one would be the one that would do the most damage. But that is definitely not the case.
No, you're right.
But there's a triangle, yeah. There's a weapon triangle.
But I think also what Jamie may be
same weapon.
What Jamie may be saying is, like, you get, like, your hit penalty goes up quite a bit. Like, it's like it's a 65% hit rate, but this damage is much bigger. So why am I not getting the next, like, super weapon that allows me to get both hit and damage up?
Well, that's because they got rid of durability. That was their solution for that. And I guess it's a good point that I've kind of been running iron weapons almost the entire game. Some characters have steel weapons, but it's almost disadvantageous to run the good weapons because if you run, like, the silver weapons, they all lower your stats when you use them.
Yeah, yep.
So, like, you can use them once and you'll do a lot of damage, but then the second time you won't because they debuff you temporarily.
And this is a Japanese game. How come when I go into the store, a little, like, a Jigglypuff doesn't pop out of the store and say, like, hello, James, let's talk about the weapons!
Oh, it totally... It's because you got Conquest. Like, I got the Jigglypuff in Birthright, in Water Birthright. Yeah, it explained everything to me.
Damn
so,
it.
So what I've noticed, Jamie,
is it actually didn't.
What will happen is it'll, like, instead of tutorializing, it'll, like, show, it'll be, like, tutorial, like, staves, and then it will go away, and you have to go into the guide and find the tutorial on staves in order to know how to use them.
So you think if I open that... No, but I'm willing to bet that I will open that tutorial, and it will just be gibberish. Like, it'll be like... if your character has breasts, then the iron stave won't work.
I think what you need to do, Jamie, is bring this back to GameStop. It's just throw it at the guy and be like, and then the guy, does not
work. I knew you'd be back.
I knew you'd be back. It's a piece of shit.
It's so interesting.
There is one major thing that I kind of in the same boat as Jamie that I'm having a problem with, and that there's like a super secret hidden button that's like, do you want the real menu? And you click that and it's like, oh my god, now all the stats are shown instead of it's just like,
oh yeah, like, you can
it's
like
you get the basic menu
from, yeah.
You Wait, get the basic happened? Menu, and it's just like, hey, your guy's good at stuff, right? Huh? Right? A-plus-er-ish. And then you turn that off, and it's like, oh, there's the actual numbers, and I can see my weapon proficiencies, and I can see my like stats that aren't yeah. just like estimates of...
It'll explain different... everything. There's like a little thing you can... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. That helped me immensely.
Wait, what's this button? I'm so confused.
It's like a menu option that you select, and then everything is revealed.
What menu option for where? What menu?
It's like on the touch screen.
I think you have to do it in yeah, down there.
Wait. Say it again. You talked over each other.
Go ahead, Griff.
No, ready? No, you go.
So Griffin, are you talking about?
I was thinking that we
fuck off, Griffin. Go. What were you thinking of, Griffin?
Amy Polaris. I think it's on the touchscreen. It's somewhere located there. You just tap it, and it's like advanced menu.
Yes. So, are you talking about how you can display all the characters' stats if you cycle through their little three lower menus in the lower left?
Yep.
So that helps me. But Jamie, I'm still trying to understand. So give me your example again. So you have a bronze lance and like a steel lance, and the bronze lance does more than the steel lance.
Yes.
Wait, is that because the bronze lance hits twice?
No.
I don't understand. That's not supposed to happen.
Exactly. Neither do I.
Your cartridge is haunted. Are you sure that neither of the lances has like a modifier on it that does something weird, like a bronze lance plus one or something? Have you forged the bronze lance?
I don't know. I'll forge some stuff.
The one thing that I have noticed that doesn't make much sense is, so you know like the new pairing up mechanics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How you can either be defensively paired or offensively paired. And if you are defensively paired, which is where you have your two units stacked on top of each other, then you can't get the offensive pairing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, kind of can. So, like, sometimes I'll be like... Or actually, you know what? It might be a terrain bonus. I'm not sure. But sometimes I'll be standing on two different... Like, I'll be standing next to someone in a paired up group, and I'll be have different numbers than if I was standing away from them in a paired up group.
I've noticed that as well, Jeff. I've noticed that as well. And I've even had situations where they will all have a paired up dude and there'll be another dude next to them that's not paired up and they will initiate a double attack. And I was like, well, I didn't think that we could actually do this.
Oh, you mean if you attack with your unpaired up dude?
No, paired up dude, and then there's another dude there who's like, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do the second attack. Like, I didn't think this was possible. Now, I'm wondering if it's because I have like all their stuff maxed and their social links.
Maybe. It could be, yeah. I'm not sure. But yeah, there's some quirks in there that aren't 100% clear, but I think they're pretty well executed. Like, most of the time I understand why I'm doing the things I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. I think that you can still get adjacency bonuses if you put dudes next to each other, even if you're paired, but they just don't join in for the attacks.
Right.
But it is a little weird. Jamie, I'm still trying to understand what is going on. You made it to the end of the game.
Yeah, well, I'm at the second to last mission. I guess it's kind of like the last story mission. I don't know. And then there's like another one after it, according to guides that I've looked at. But I mean, I'm bashing the game. I love the game. It's an amazing game. I loved Awakening, and I think this is probably better on multiple levels. I love that you can't. I'm speaking specifically of Conquest now. I love that you can't grind. Because when you can't grind, you have this. It has this interesting effect of, I'll try a level once, and I'll just get destroyed.
Yeah.
And I'll think to myself like, okay, if this were any other RPG, I would just go grind. But I can't grind, so I should probably just stop playing this game altogether and never touch it again. And I'm like, no, wait, you can't grind. So that means there must be a way to beat this mission. And there always is, and it might take you like a couple of times to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And it's always very map specific, but it's so awesome figuring out what exactly you need to do on a certain map. And on certain maps, you might just have to rush through. And if you take time taking out every enemy that comes your way, you're going to die. But on other maps, you might have to just sit tight and just take the onslaught.
Tank. Yeah.
And then move forward only when you're ready. And it's so like the mission I'm on now, which is the last story mission. These not even the final boss, just these little ads. They're one-shotting my main characters.
Holy shit.
Like not a doubled up person, just like a single like archer will one-shot Corrin.
Holy
shit.
And
it's like, oh my god, how am I going to get around this?
Yeah, my Corrin's super buff too. That's crazy.
Mine's basically unstoppable. And the map on the final level is really, really interesting. Like, I don't know what to do about it. And I know I'm going to play that mission like 3 or 4 more times. I'm just going to wipe, and then it'll occur to me, and I'll be like, oh my god. And then I'll get it eventually.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. Because I think more so than Awakening before, which just encouraged you to just kind of like face roll the level with your overpowered units, you have to like think of it as a puzzle game, which is really cool. So I really agree with that, Jamie. And I was thinking, so when you talk about running through levels, are you thinking of like that Faceless mission, for example?
Yes.
Yeah, you cannot stop. You have to, you have to use every feature of the map to your advantage. Like for me, that battle, I'm so lucky I didn't lose a dude in it. Like I had a dude almost die. The only reason they didn't die is because they had, you know how that when you're doing the dual attack or the dual defense thing, like you fill up the meter and you'll dodge one attack when your meter fills up.
I did not know this.
You didn't know about... Okay, so you know how when you're in a pair, under your character, there's a little meter that fills up.
It's a bunch of like gems, right?
Yeah. When they turn blue, you will dodge an attack.
Cool.
Jamie, now I understand.
I need a little Jigglypuff. Tell me what's up.
Go to the guide. The guide has little Jigglypuffs in it.
No, okay. Why? You've made it this far. Just keep
That's
going.
That's true. Just beat the game. Just beat the game. But yeah, so the only reason I lived is because that was available. And one of my dudes didn't die because of that. And I was able to escape the level. And I would have basically entire squad wiped if I had gone like one more moment. And I never had a moment like that in Fire Emblem Awakening, which is really cool.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I'm playing the baby version, and I've never had a moment like that either. Birthright, and it's pretty easy. So I'm just steamrolling stuff, grinding up things, making everybody fall in love with everybody, and then I even turned it so I just never lose a dude, because I know I just replay that mission and go do it differently. So I'm like, well, I'll save myself the time, because I'm
Phoenix
just
going to
replay
mode?
The mission.
Are you Ultimate Scrub Phoenix mode?
Yeah. No, I'm one step away from that. The one where it's like, they'll die and they won't come back in that battle, but they'll come back at the end of the battle.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, that to me is I'm not going to be playing through with... I want everybody. I want to collect them all.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I feel.
I want to collect them all, but I just replay the level until nobody dies.
All right, and I would do that too. It's just... Why do that? That's stupid. Because you're just
harder to
playing
not
it over
lose
and over
people.
Again.
You have to.
How is the?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. How is the story on Birthright? Because the story in Conquest is pretty solid, but it's really contingent on the main character's like emotional dilemma of betraying her birth family for these assholes, and like that's essentially the what makes the story compelling. So, is the story in Birthright any good?
So it's that, but just switch it. And I would not say it's compelling, no.
Yeah, I guess my experience with Conquest is it's definitely better than it should be, given the setup. But it's like not like good, but it's okay. And the children,
yeah, it's, I mean,
the,
it's,
the children
it's
make
anime.
No sense. The children are just completely shoehorned in. Because Fire Emblem has to have kids now. When you think of Fire Emblem, you think of kids.
Yeah. Well, why would you breed anybody then?
Brought to you by Jamie from Subway.
What I love about the characters in the game is like they're so anime, it's ridiculous. Like there's one character who just loves eating, and like that's That's it. That's her whole deal. Yep. Is that she just loves eating and she's going to talk to everyone about it. There's no support conversation that isn't about how she just wants to be stuffing her face.
There's one or two. If she talks to the youngest princess or whatever, then she'll talk about other stuff. But yeah, most of them are just like, I'm hungry and I'm strong.
Yeah.
Do you have any characters in your game that you're just like, immediately you're like, fuck you, I'm never talking to you or using you at all? Like, yep. You banish from my game. I wish I could kill you, but I can't.
You pretty much have to, I feel like, in Conquest, because you get limited experience. So you pretty much have to just decide, okay, fuck these guys.
Yeah, that exactly. is kind of weird.
Well, I mean, that's how the original Fire Emblem games used to be. I mean, like, you would get a squad, and you'd have to just pick and choose which ones you leveled.
Oh, no, that's fine. I just, you know, I liked in Awakening having the relationship-building side of it, and... You know, if that were not a thing, I would be a lot less interested in the game.
Mm. Good thing you didn't buy Conquest, then.
yeah, definitely.
What's the deal with this third one?
I haven't touched it yet, but essentially the idea is you, when at the major decision point, you just refuse to take a side.
You get Pikachu.
And you get Pikachu, yeah. You get Pikachu and he follows you around.
Actually, the third one explains all the mechanics, Jamie. you have to play the first two until you then it allows you in.
The third one's a completely different game, guys. We promise, and you can get the ultimate form of Corrin.
How do I get it? How do I get? Which one is the one that I can touch the people in?
Yeah, I can't do that. What's the point of the things that
it's,
like? What
it's,
do you?
Yeah, they just cut it. That's what happened. They just cut
you
it.
You can scroll down.
Yeah, you can scroll down and check out their rack if you want to, I guess. It's like, it's just this vestigial, like, hey, there used to be a touching game here, but now there isn't. So,
wow.
Here it is.
Yep.
But my question is the third, someone is like slurping on something real good. Like,
That's my cat, probably, at her litter box, yeah.
But the third one supposed to be hard? Is it supposed to be easy? Like, is the story supposed to be darker? Or like, what's
the
deal?
So the third one is supposed to be hard, but it has access to grinding. Apparently the third one actually has some pretty powerful units, so you have to grind, which is kind of shitty. But, yeah, I don't know too much. I know that you get all the characters in it, pretty much. Like, almost all the characters.
From both?
From both, yeah.
cool.
And you, like, find the hidden truth behind the war or whatever. Like, that's the concept.
So you find out what devil, demon, god creature is possessing the king, no doubt.
Well, I think you find out what devil, demon, god creature is possessing the king in the main story anyway. Because the thrust of the Conquest story is you're doing that.
Oh, weird.
Huh. Yeah, because Azura is like, hey, the king has a dude in him. You need to let him sit on the throne.
Yeah.
And so that's why you want to win the war. So he'll sit on this magical throne that will, like, reveal his true form.
And then when he sits on the throne, it's hilarious.
Does he turn into a ridiculous demon?
Can I tell you what happens?
I don't know.
No,
I don't think
I'll,
so.
I'll save
I don't,
it.
Yeah, no.
I'll save it. Just enjoy it.
All right.
Wait, we'll put it in episode 171. Here, ready? Go. Okay, did it, and then I deleted 171.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Revelation is supposed to be, you know, kind of you get best of all worlds, you get the difficulty, but you also get the grind, and you get lots and lots of dudes to build relationships with and build a huge army. I'll let you know when I get there. I plan to play through all of them, I think. But Conquest, holy shit, has been super, super hard. I, like, go through at a rate of, like, one to, like, half a mission over, like, a day or two. Because they're tough.
It's, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
Birthright isn't. It's pretty fun.
I was going to say, though, you can actually still... There is still touching, but you can only touch your spouse.
Yeah.
And you can only touch them when you reach sufficient, like, bond levels. So, literally, like, I reached... Like, I got enough hearts. I married Azura. And I got enough hearts, and then it was like, looks like your loved one is sleeping. Wake up that slug of ed.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
And I was like, okay, I'll stroke your face now. And then she woke up.
And then Jessica walked in the room. And he quickly closed the cartridge.
Closed the cartridge and adjusted my trousers.
Man.
So, Jamie,
game,
game.
I'm going to keep playing it.
What, Griffin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Robot Griffin.
All right, I had a question for you, Jamie. So have you noticed that when you fight enemy units, they all have abilities?
Nope.
All right. That's probably a pretty big oversight. So the cool thing about Conquest, apparently, as opposed to Birthright, is that all the enemies have skills, which make them have, like, unique characteristics. Like, for example, you'll be fighting an archer, and usually the way you kill archers is by getting close to them. Mm-hmm. And hitting them up close. But they might have an ability that makes it so that if they take an attack from an adjacent square, they deal damage back to you.
Okay.
Equal to the attack damage they took. Have you not seen this before?
How do I know if they're going to do that?
When you hover over them, it has all their abilities in the little circles underneath, like, their name and level and stuff.
Okay.
All your characters have abilities, too.
So, yeah, would like, your character's abilities, like, the other characters have them now.
Yeah. Would that have, like, popped up, like, in, like, the percentages of the damage that's going
to
happen?
No. No Jigglypuffs, either. You just have to know.
Oh, man.
Like,
that's crazy.
So it would sort of pop up in the sense that, like, if they had an ability that, like, made it so they take less damage when they're being attacked, that would show up in the calculation. But, like, the thing where, like, you take the damage back when you do it would not show up.
Gotcha.
So if you've ever, like, died mysteriously, like, oh, I attacked this dude, but then I took damage back and died, that's why. Maybe this isn't a thing. You're playing on normal difficulty, right?
I'm playing on casual easy.
Okay, maybe that's not a thing in easy, because it definitely is a thing in the higher difficulties, and that is, I think, part of what makes it so interesting to play. Because not only do you have to deal with the enemies themselves, you have to deal with, like, each of them having unique skills. So, like, when you fight a boss, it's not just, like, a powerful unit. It's, like, a powerful unit that has abilities you have to work around.
I mean,
Birthright
there.
Has that as well. It's definitely there.
Okay.
That's not exclusive.
Okay, I had heard it was more of a thing in Conquest, but it might be in Birthright as well. I feel like those abilities are much cooler than they were in Awakening. And much more prevalent, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That's my point. We can talk about something
else.
No,
it's cool. I'll definitely keep an eye out for that stuff. I never...
Jamie, are you high when you play this game?
What?
Are you high when you play this game, Jamie?
So high.
Right. Well, I've been playing a lot of it. It's been sucking up my days, and I really like it, so... Yeah. And I'm going to
suck up your... You have something called Cluster Truck written down here? What is that?
Cluster Truck. So I don't have too much to say about this because it's just an alpha, but I read about it on the Structoid. It's a first-person jumping simulator where you jump on the backs of moving trucks that are colliding into each other and, like, crashing and flipping over and exploding. And you have to get from point A to point B while dealing with, like, trucks crashing and hazards in the road. And it's just stupid and fun. Basically, you spawn onto the back of a truck, it crashes into another truck, and you have to, like, basically matrix jump, because you can go into slow motion for a limited period of time, and, like, land on the back of another truck. And it's just dumb and fun. But it is one of the few other games I've played in the past, like, month.
Is it a VR game?
It's not a VR game, no. I don't think VR is a thing for it.
Well, we need to get really into VR so we can be on, like, that social tip.
But yeah, there's not really enough to say or much to say about this game because it's pretty basic. But if you like the idea of like fun, like crazy platforming with like cool emergent moments of trucks crashing into each other and like having to make crazy jumps through like spinning platforms and like launchers and other crazy stuff, then I recommend. But yeah, not too much else to say. It's pretty self-contained experience. Not really anything crazy, but you know, I liked it. So
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wait, what is our thing? What's the thing that we're doing now that's the thing that we do on these episodes?
Oh,
buy it.
2 out of 10.
Rape it.
Rape. Yeah.
Download it for free because it's a free demo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's free. You should try it. It's pretty fun. Fire Emblem Conquest, buy it.
Fire Emblem Birthright. Buy it, maybe.
Oh, ooh.
Mostly, you're probably buy it. You're fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much, if you like anime dating sims,
okay. Wait.
You're good.
Yeah, yeah. No. Fire Emblem Birthright. Buy it. Don't buy Conquest. How about that?
Oh, deal with it. Snap!
Shots fired.
Buy Conquest if you like masochism.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Mostly because characters, masochism. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Buy Valkyria Chronicles on PC because it's $5.
Is it really?
It's $5.
Oh, snap. I already own it, so.
That's my mentality towards anything. If it is $5, I have to buy it. So $5 and under.
Now, I'm holding out for Valkyria Chronicles Remastered for PS4, which I'm assuming is exactly the same as Valkyria Chronicles PC.
Hope so.
Jamie, will you buy it?
Nope, because on my PC I can run it in 2K, which is pretty cool.
It's in the game? Wait, no, that's not 2K. What's 2K's? They don't have a motto, do they?
Buy Grand Theft Auto again.
Anyway.
I also played other games. I want to say real quick, I played Ninja Senki DX on the PlayStation 4. That's awesome.
Don't even know what that is.
What is that?
It's a 8-bit platformer that is extremely difficult, and it is also $5 or less, I believe. And it's just really awesome. I don't know how I stumbled across it, but it's like extremely punishing, and it reminds me a little bit of Bucky O'Hare. Just in terms of the way it feels.
Oh.
And then I also played Firewatch, and Griffin... I haven't beaten it, so I don't know what happens.
Oh,
Griffin
Firewatch.
Is wrong.
I thought you said Firewatch.
Yeah, Firewatch. Griffin is wrong. Firewatch. That game is, like, incredible. Like,
yep.
It's...
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Like, last week, Griffin was like, it's pretty good, but, like, I don't know if I would pay that much for it. I'm like, no. I would pay $60 for this game.
Whoa.
It is...
Yeah.
That's too much.
Hey, are there any other indie games you'd pay $60 for? Spoilers. Go on, Jamie. Sorry.
I don't know, but it's just like it's so good. It's the best voice acting I've ever heard in a game. And,
it is very natural.
And,
yeah.
And I just love the opening of the game is like the set of binary decisions you make after being presented with like some story prompts. I loved it. I thought that was, like, amazing. I thought it put, like, a great, like, context in with everything, and I thought it was done in a really, like, artful and concise way.
I believe
everything
the exact
game,
opposite of what Jamie said about that.
Everything about that game so far has just taken my breath away, and I can't wait to finish it.
Did you get the AK yet? Because that's when it really changes.
Not yet.
That's when I thought
VR.
It got good.
No, yeah. It's when you it's hit that moment version. And it says press L1 to even the odds.
Oh, man.
Even the odds. I'm surprised when they went to hell. That was really unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of foreshadowing it.
I guess so,
some
yeah.
of it really, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotta kill Satan.
You do, yeah. Yeah. Don't you always? Yeah, I figured that you would like it quite a bit, Jamie. It's very much Gone Home.
I like that. Mm. I liked Gone Home. That was a good game. It was a very enjoyable 2 hours or so.
It was, yeah.
So
Gone Home wasn't a good game. Gone Home was a great game.
Oh!
And this is a great game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gone Home was a good experience. It's not a game.
Gone Home was a work of art.
The best experience of all time is the Jamie Kennedy experience.
Jamie, have you seen the crossover of Gone Home into Firewatch? Have you encountered that yet?
Is this like an actual joke thing, or are you just
no for real? There is a, it's a I guess you could say it's a shared universe. If you're a douche and you hate, you know, I don't know. If the internet would say it's a shared universe.
They have overlapping canon.
You can find one of the books that's in.
Oh, that the author, that the dad wrote. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
That's super cool.
I don't remember enough from that game to, if I saw a book from it in this game, to remember, but that's pretty cool.
Didn't he write about a time traveler? Yeah. Wasn't that his thing?
Yeah, who, like, saves JFK or something like that.
Yeah, which is actually a Stephen King book.
Huh.
And now, soon to be a miniseries starring James Franco.
Sweet. Excellent. Is it called Quantum Leap?
The decoy octopus of the acting world. James Franco. Jamie, can you tell me about Ninja Senki a little bit? Is it would I, with my very specific desires for platforming, enjoy it?
It's an 8-bit, so there's no run button. It's just all like right. You have
so
the
like
one
Mega Man kind of.
Yeah, like Mega Man, you have the one speed, and you have one attack, which is you can throw a ninja star in front of you.
All right,
and it's like very very simple,
mm-hmm.
and it's a kind of platformer where, like Mega Man, and it kind of, you know, it taps into that same thing that, like, Conquest taps into. It's like the first time you look at a level, you just get annihilated, and you're like, I have to stop playing this game forever. And then you give it another go, you get a little farther, give it another go, you get a little farther, and it's when you finally make it through the level, you're like, oh my god, I'm a genius, and I'm the best at platformers, and I should basically just go to Evo, because I could probably beat everyone there, and yeah.
When you jump, can you change directions and velocity mid-jump, or do you have to commit to that jump?
Yeah, you can change direction.
All right.
I think.
Because some of those games back in the day, man, when you jumped, you were in it. That was it. You were going that full trajectory right there. Like Castlevania? Original Castlevania?
Yeah, I do not believe that's the case.
All right.
It's like it's like Spelunky or Meat Boy, where you have that ability to move in air.
Not a lot, because your jump isn't that high, but yeah, I think you can.
All right, I'll check out some videos. You've piqued my interest.
For $5, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's $5, you have to buy it. I own every $5 game.
Exactly.
The entire Five Nights at Freddy's Octilogy. Well, that's cool. I had that completely flew under my radar. I didn't hear anything about it, but I'm excited.
Oh, and I bought Super Mario World on the 3DS because I'm an idiot.
You're a monster.
Because it was $5?
What?
Yeah.
I am, like, legit actually kind of pissed that they did not offer those cross-buy. I feel like it's time.
Hey, yeah, so let's table that for a sec and talk about some real video games. I played Final Fantasy Street Fighter V. It was great. Buy it. Play it. It's excellent.
Like it, love it, gotta have it.
Yeah, I also played the Uncharted 4 Water Birth. Now, why do I keep saying that? Uncharted 4 multiplayer beta. It was fun. That game's gonna be great.
Do you rage quit a lot in Street Fighter Uncharted 4?
Oh yeah, because you can do that without getting in trouble, right?
I don't know. I played online. I had a really good win streak. I like how they designed their the ways that you match up with fighters. I don't like that you have to commit to a single character when you go online. You cannot change, and you can't, like, continue to fight the same person over and over again. Definitely very weak in that regard, and for me, the matchmaking does take quite a bit of time, but I'm assuming that's just because of my internet and connection and the population that does make those fair.
Have you rooted your PS4 so you can unlock Mika's butt slap again?
Oh, God, only if I could.
Because of goddamn censorship.
I scroll, yeah.
Is it different than Street Fighter 4?
Yes, significantly.
And you feel like someone like me would notice that.
Jamie, if you just look on the bottom of the screen, there's a bar scrolling that tells you all the differences between Street Fighter 4.
As a person who has somehow got through the end of Fire Emblem Conquest and not figured out what the weapons do, I don't know if you notice a difference, to be honest.
Jamie, I really want to look at your cartridge for like one moment and just see what is going on. I really am so curious.
I don't have a cartridge. I downloaded it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's your problem.
Yep. Nintendo is punishing you for your horrible ways.
Mm-hmm. Is Rusty from Rusty Real Steel Baseball there trying to hawk it to you? Is that why you gave into him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I played those games, and Uncharted, I'm excited for.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited too.
Let's move on, right? We've been talking about games for like an hour at this point.
Have we really? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that.
It's ridiculous.
All right, I wondered a bit about Uncharted, but I guess we can table that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not out. I played the beta. It's the grappling hook is really, really, really weird and leads to some hilarity. But other than that, you know,
all right, I'm into it. Is it freeform or is it like hooking?
I'm not telling. I'm not telling you anymore.
You're not telling me whether the grappling hook is freeform.
You have to wait for the full
points?
Game. You have to wait. It's grappling points.
All right.
They look like little gargoyles.
Is it like early Tomb Raider when you would like when it was just like comically impossible to run on walls?
Yeah, no, I don't know what that means.
All right,
next question.
All right, move on.
Griffin's Jeff, tell me about Hitman. Speaking of demos and nonsense,
you little dog. So Hitman,
hit me with that Hitman info.
Oh man, that was a hit.
Oh mommy.
All right. So Hitman is a game that I did not necessarily think I'd be picking up. I've always kind of had an interest in it because I do like stealth games. I like kind of improvisational type games. But I didn't think I'd be going for it. I didn't really like the model. But for whatever reason, I was like, the pricing, I mean, seems pretty okay for what you get. I mean, $15 for one, like, pretty big level with a lot of possibilities. I don't feel like I'm getting super ripped off. And I did end up buying the whole thing because I'm an idiot and it was on sale. So I got the complete experience or whatever the hell it's called for $45. But Hitman is good. I like it a lot. Basically, for people who don't know, the crux of Hitman is you infiltrate areas using disguises that you procure on site by like knocking people out. And every disguise will give you different levels of access to the world. And you basically use your disguises to get close to targets and then kill them. And you are rewarded if you kill them in interesting or creative ways. Or if you kill them like without arousing the suspicion of guards or like having the body spotted or anything like that. And I think it's really fun. I'm having a great time with it, and I actually have been playing it quite a bit. But I think kind of a note is that if you want to enjoy this game, you kind of have to commit to like looking for emergent gameplay scenarios. Because if you just want to go through the game and like get from point A to point B as fast as possible, you could probably beat this game in like an hour, which is going to really rub some people the wrong way, especially if you turn on like the stuff that tells you exactly what to do. Like the game has a system called opportunities,
okay,
where essentially like you can learn about ways to exploit the world. Like it's kind of shortcuts, like, okay, there's this model who like looks like you and he's over here. Like the game will be like, hey, listen to this conversation. Now we're going to mark the model's position on your map and you just have to get to him. And then, like, you can use this to get into the upper levels. So that kind of ruins it for me, because I feel like that, like, trivializes the whole thing. So I've actually just turned that off completely. And it's much more fun, because what happens is you'll walk into the areas you have access to, and you just kind of have to be a fly on the wall and just listen and observe and, like, watch where targets move. And just kind of take in information. And then, like, over time, you can kind of find like little holes and you can exploit those little holes. And I think that's a much more fun way to play it than kind of following like,
I'd like to exploit your little holes.
Oh. For me, that's much more fun than following kind of their more scripted approaches. And the game does encourage this because it has lots and lots of like challenges you can complete. And they're basically achievements, but they're like achievements for the sake of like the enjoyment of achieving it. So like I just completed a challenge right before we started podcasting where I broke into the level while remaining entirely in my initial suit. So I didn't get any disguises, so it makes it much harder to move around. And I also killed both of my targets without anyone seeing the bodies, and I hid both of the bodies. And like doing that is like one of the most nail-bitingly tense experiences. It requires so much like observation of the area. And it's basically like Metal Gear Solid, except like 10 times harder because there's so many more dudes.
So what's the fail state? Like if you end up making that mistake, is there a way to like hit the go nuts button and shoot everything up, or is it just like, well, better give up and restart?
So if you're spotted, it depends on how badly you fuck up. So like for example, if you're near like a ledge you can vault over, then you'll probably be okay, like because you can like hang around and like shimmy off to the side and maybe slide down a pipe. And if as long as you can knock someone else out and steal a new identity that hasn't yet been compromised. So for example, like if somebody spots you like doing something you shouldn't, or like let's say like the shift leader for like the like you have like a palace guard attire, but like the head palace guard sees you and they're like, I don't recognize you, then your cover will be blown and you can't be a palace guard anymore. But you can still get someone else's outfit and switch into something else. So, like, there's a lot of ways to get out of it. But, like, if you get in direct combat, you're probably kind of fucked. Like, you can, if you get the drop on enemies, you can kill them, but a few shots and you're dead.
Okay.
So, it's pretty cool. I really do like it. And it definitely feels like a system that rewards, like, patience, creativity, and improvisation. And it does have a pretty lenient save system if you want to experiment. Like, it auto-saves a lot. And you can create individual saves pretty much at any point. And I've just been having a really good time just kind of experimenting with the levels and, like, looking for interesting ways to exploit them. And
it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. The main issue is you're getting just one level. It is a big level with a lot of stuff going on in it, but it is kind of a ground zero situation. Although compared to ground zeros, we're talking $15 versus $30. So it's already better in that regard. And you do get, like, a tutorial level, which is its own little self-contained thing, which is pretty cool. So you actually get two of those. So you do have three levels to play around in. Two of them are on the smaller side, but one is pretty big. But, you know, for $15, and I got it reduced by 25%, you know, from that starting price, although I did buy the full package. I think it's actually a pretty good deal. I'm actually okay with that as a release model. And I had a good time, so I'll probably play it more after we're done podcasting.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll wait till it's under $5, and then I'll compulsively buy it.
Oh, another thing I was going to say. So one of the coolest things about this, which I haven't even delved into yet, is that there is a contracts mode where you can essentially choose any NPC in the level and create an objective to kill that NPC in, like, any way that you can think of. So, like, you have to kill them with a headshot while wearing a certain disguise, or you have to, you know, get rid of them without anyone seeing them, or you have to, you know, kill them with a particular method of execution, like you have to drown them in a toilet, or you have to poison them. So they really want to encourage, like, players to come up with really interesting challenge scenarios, and I think that'll really give the game some legs. I haven't even like delved into that yet. But my favorite thing about the featured contract right now is it's called "Do Me, I Dare You." It has a picture of a man wearing sunglasses.
What?
I think somebody was like trying to get clicks, but it's a great name. But it's really cool. It's a cool world, and NPCs have schedules. I mean, they're a little bit like there are moments when the cracks in the world are exposed, like where like a dude will repeat his same like pattern of movement over and over again until you advance the story by like doing something. But it's not that bad. And it's really fun to observe and execute interesting strategies and be rewarded for it. So, anyway.
Nice.
Yeah, Hitman. It's pretty cool. A surprising game
Hitman,
for me.
Go, right?
Yeah. Hitman is go.
Go right now. Go right now, Hitman.
I'm sorry, it's not called Hitman. It's called Enter a World of Assassination, TM, Hitman.
Can I play it on my Steam Link that I bought secondhand from a GameStop?
For an angry-looking gentleman that said, "You'll be back." you might be able to play it on your Steam Link. But I've been playing it on PC, which I think is a good thing probably for now, because apparently the load times on PS4 are pretty heinous, like 90 seconds to reload the level.
Kill me. So, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, Griffin's been blorped away again.
Goodbye!
But it's weird me.
Hi, Griff.
Because you couldn't change your graphics settings, even though it's a PC game, right?
So, yes. So, because I don't have a, like, elite enough graphics card, I can't play the game at native resolution. It just won't let me. So, I have to play it at 1080p, which is fine. It still looks fine. And I have to play it at texture detail low, which is amusing to me. But it's really not a big deal at all. The game still looks fine. It's not a problem.
Nice.
Jamie, you could probably play it at all the max doodads.
All the peas?
All the max doodads. But I haven't... at the levels I set, I haven't had any performance issues. I've heard some people are like, "I can't run this at max, I don't like it." But it's fine. It's not like XCOM, which, like, literally... Like, XCOM sometimes feels like the whole game is held together by masking tape. This game is not like that. Also, XCOM is real good. Jamie, have you beaten
it yet? You still playing it? Beating it? No?
I beat it.
Yeah, you beat it. You beat it. Yes, you told me that.
I'm going to play that after I'm done with Conquest.
Ah.
Yes.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, I would recommend Hitman, especially if they drop the price for a little bit. Like, if you can get in for even a small discount, you'll be like, "Yeah, this is cool. I like this." You'll have a good time. It'll be at least a good day, which I think is worth $15. So
this is a good. Anyway, a good day to die.
That's the games I played. Griffin, you got anything else you went into?
Honestly, I don't remember if I did, so Yeah, no, I don't think so.
We're just going to pretend we heard you.
Just nod your heads, yes, perfect. Oh, wasn't that great what I said there? Yes.
Yes.
It was so interesting, Robot Griffin.
I have to look that up now. This is it's going to eat away at me.
Oh god! So yeah, bad.
Let's talk about news and stuff, right? Because that's what we do.
Hey, let's talk about that big news: Pokemon Moon and Sun. Okay, we're done. That's it. That's the end of that news.
Thank you for watching.
And the Japanese version of the game is going to be: you can take the Pokemon back to your apartment, and then you can tickle them. But in the American version, it's going to get cut. But you can look at the Pokemon's rack.
But you can tickle all of them except for Gardevoir, Lopunny. Who else do they do fan arts of? Lucario.
What's the dragon one? What's this gooey dragon?
Oh, Gudra. That's right. I forgot about Gudra.
Yeah.
The subject of my war fanfic. Oh, gross.
So there was a really crappy Nintendo Direct that brought that up, right? And then there was another Nintendo Direct later that maybe, Jeff, you want to talk about?
? Hey, you know what? When the final recording comes out, we'll hear all of this because Griffin won't be a robot then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All the more incentive to listen. So there was another Nintendo Direct, Griffin, I think you were saying, with actual stuff in it. Although, I'm excited about Moon and Sun, even though we learned absolutely nothing. I am. Lots of people have been speculating like crazy about what it will be, will it be a new generation? I think it probably will, but how new will it be is the weird question.
Well, because there was pictures of like a Blastoise and a fire truck in the concept art. And there's like a Machoke like riding a pickup truck.
Well, that's all okay. That's normal. They do that all the time. The thing that people seized upon was that, first of all, it looks like the region apparently looks like it's based on Singapore, I think? I can't remember. Are you familiar with Game Explain?
Nope.
Okay. It's a website that does ridiculous levels of analysis of trailers, and is usually pretty on the money. And they looked at those 6 seconds of concept footage for like a solid 5 minutes.
Huh. Nice.
Did they see the picture of the Machop in the truck, though?
Yes, they did. But that's normal. I mean, think about the beginning of...
No, it's not. It's never been done before.
Well, yes. I mean, in that sense, it's different. But having old Pokemon show up in that way in concept art or in early game is pretty common. Like in the beginning of the Advanced Generation, you have like Machokes that move you in.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's normal. Apparently, the wire model was a new Pokemon, they say.
Yeah, that bird-looking bat thing or whatever it was.
Yeah, they did a little... Yeah. Someone did like a concept sketch based on the wire model, which is just bananas. But anyway, yeah. They showed 6 seconds of concept art.
Pokemon.
Yeah. Did you have any highlights from that Nintendo Direct, Griffin?
Did I not write any? Oh, I wrote some stuff down, right?
You did write some stuff down.
Yeah. Oh, is my robot voice gone?
Your robot voice is gone for now.
Okay. I went back on the Wi-Fi, so hopefully that will help.
Perfect.
I thought that the Paper Mario Color Splash reveal looked pretty freaking cool. Like, it's gorgeous. But I think, Jeff, you and I share the same sentiments of, like, nervousness about how close to Sticker Star and how action RPG-ish it's going to be versus, like, classic Mario RPG.
Yeah, I think it looked gorgeous. I think that what they did with that art style and, like, the shadowing and the contrast and the depth is amazing. I think it looks really, really good. But I just don't like the idea of the game. Like, the idea of the game scares me. I'm like, okay.
Because it has color people in it. Is that why it's, nice. That's why it scares you, right? You said it, I didn't.
Yeah, Jeff.
Oh, that's why I'm attending a Trump rally later today to protest. No more color splash. No, it's just, like you said, Griffin, it looks like it's going to be taking a page from Sticker Star, which is just weird to me. I don't know why they would do that, given that that game was not a popular game.
No.
How'd you like that extended, like, 10-minute portion where they're like, listen, Federation Force is a Metroid game.
Yes.
We promise.
I did actually go back and watch that. And,
But that looks good to me.
That doesn't look good to me.
Now it looks like garbage dumpster fuel.
I bought what they were selling after that. I'm legitimately excited to play that game. I don't think I'm ever going to think of it like a Metroid game, but I think it'll be a fun little game for your 3DS.
To me, I can't get over the art style of like big head chibi dudes.
Yeah, I'm pretty mad about robots. The chibi dudes. Yeah, Jamie, if you buy it though, I'll play it with you. I don't care.
Good. Let's do it.
It'll be fun, not because the game is any good, but because we'll just laugh at how bad it is.
Love it. down. I'm always down for that.
But yeah, I just really liked how they like got really like into the weeds about like, no, listen, this definitely fits into the Metroid canon.
What were the space pirates doing? We asked ourselves that, and yeah, we knew like, you wanted to know.
It just makes sense that Samus wouldn't be in this game.
Yeah, but then don't they say that she's in it? Like they're like, and then they contact Samus.
Well, they're like, Samus is kind of in the game.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, so can I explore the world and like pick up power ups that make me be able to explore more of the world? No, no, you can't do that.
No, play Kirby, idiot.
Yeah, the Kirby looks adorable.
Kirby game looks real good.
Yeah, and Jamie and I both played Kirby 3D Land, and that's actually a pretty good game.
That's a really solid game.
Yeah. Although the robot looks exactly like Giant Kirby. The robot is just Giant Kirby.
Oh my god, I didn't even know there was a new Kirby game. I just totally forgot about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I don't care for Kirby.
Okay. It looked pretty darn cute. But I do, like I said, I do feel like the robot is exactly the same.
Hmm.
But I'm fine with it. It was a good game.
Okay. Yes, because the robot can absorb powers. Now I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. The robot can absorb powers.
Now I know why I'm not into it. Yeah.
You don't like robots that can absorb powers?
No, not really.
You're crazy.
I mean, Mega Man's all right, but that's pretty much it.
Griffin, what do you think of Nintendo's controller patents?
That hoary monster thing that you sent me? I'm talking about the ones
that we almost talked about, like, months ago, and then you were like, no, we can't.
I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it.
Although that hoary controller, it looks cool, but it's, like, objectively probably really dumb.
Oh, I'm sure it's hell of uncomfortable, too. But, like, just in terms of, like, a design, I really like the clean lines on it and the angles.
Would you say that the paint is really, it's really good?
The paint is very good?
The paint lines are great.
Oh, yeah.
Can you fit it in your
mouth? I can fit it in something.
Oh. Why is Griffin's and Miyamoto Kono, like, the greatest piece of video game-related media right now?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Thank you for watching my Amiibo Corner, too, by the way. That's really nice of you. Maybe that's what I should... Maybe I should just pretend to be Griffin McElroy and take credit for all that stuff. Be like, I think I'm going to do that.
Just stand on the shoulders of giants?
Mm-hmm.
Try to force them underwater and drown them?
Yeah, yep. Speaking of drowning, Star Fox Zero is actually coming out this year and is coming with another game that nobody wants or cares about except it has adorable box art.
As Slippy's uncle.
Grippy. The canon expands to Grippy.
I thought Miyamoto didn't want any new characters. He'll only make an exception when they're that good.
Oh, yeah. And what is it, like, Grippy, his uncle, works at, like, he's, like, the most Italian-American stereotype-looking dude, right? He's got like a mustache junkyard. And he works at a garbage company or something.
I actually thought that the new world they showed off looked pretty great. I was into it. I was into the cool little worms that stuck up when you shot them.
Are you excited to play a two-player as one person shoots and the other person flies?
No. I'm not excited for that at all.
But why?
Because Jessica's going to be like, I'm bored, and then there'll be no one else. It's cool, I guess. I'm a little worried about the controls, but at least the game itself looks fun, like, I think, but the controls look like they will just be a constant battle. But hey, mm-hmm. I played World Ends with you.
And you managed with Splatoon. You actually embraced the first-person shooting, so maybe it'll be great. And you're like, wow, Nintendo, you really knew all along what I needed.
Well, the gyro aiming in Splatoon is fine, but the problem with Star Fox, to ignore you, is the dual-screen thing. Like, I can't understand how you're supposed to look at your cockpit and the environment at the same time on two different screens. Yep. It makes no sense.
Nope.
I need eight different screens.
One for each window.
I need eight different screens that surround me. while I fly a Gundam. That's the only way I can understand this.
Oh, man. That's so... Yeah, I do. I want that. Are you going to interact? Are you going to put your Fox Amiibo on it and see turn into this dumbass old R-Wing or
well,
something?
Well, I did spoil him by taking him out of the packaging, so probably, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Also, the Amiibo crash has occurred. If you look online, you can get some of the rarer ones for like $8. So,
oh, nice.
Huh.
Perfect. I'll never take him out. They're going to go back up again. Saudi Arabia is going to stanch the flow of Amiibos, and then they'll go back up again.
Are they all out? Like, that's what I'm curious about. It's like, are we done? Like, did we get them all? Or?
Well, you mean all the Smash ones?
Yeah. Like,
no,
is Bayonetta out yet?
They're still trickling out. I think Roy and Ryu come out like the 18th, I think. And then,
is Cloud out yet?
No, Cloud hasn't been announced, I don't think. Nor has Corrin, nor has Bayonetta.
I thought they... Oh, you mean a date, right?
Yeah. Date and day.
Because the Amiibos were announced, I thought. Like, to exist?
Yes, yeah, they were announced to exist. Everything is getting an Amiibo, but no, they haven't come out yet.
Okay.
So.
Huh.
The only Amiibo that I haven't gotten, which is the Mii Fighters, has come back into stock on ToysRUs.com, and I haven't purchased it because I just can't. I can't spend $36 on
Yes, you can,
Fighters.
Jeff. Yes, you can. You can do it. No, you're the only one. You're the only one. You're the last one that can get all the Amiibos.
Jeff, Nintendo
is hurting.
So many
people fail trying.
Nintendo's hurting real bad right now, Jeff. They need you.
Reggie can hear you. Don't disappoint them.
They're so dumb. I hate Miis. Oh. Anyway.
Did you get all the cards?
No.
Are you going to pre-order Pokemon Pokken so that you can get Dark Mewtwo or whatever?
No, but I just read a thing about how apparently Pokken has a lot of depth, and apparently it's been picked up by FGC people, which is pretty cool.
I watched Justin Wong play a match in one of the finals. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, it looks...
Is it out?
It's out next
soon,
week,
right?
I think.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I don't know. I'm intrigued, although I don't usually care for fighting games that much, but I am intrigued.
But since it's Nintendo fighting game, I'm sure Jeff will just glom onto it and proclaim its majesty.
Just any semblance of like rational argumentation will just be gone.
All I care about is if there's tripping or not. I mean, that makes sense.
Masahiro Sakurai didn't even work on the game, but he just demanded it. In the 11th hour, he was like, no, this game looks too competitive. Take it out. I don't want little Timmy to cry. No, I probably won't, but I don't know. Griffin, if you have good impressions when you rent it, I might pick it up.
Oh, yeah. I will definitely be checking it out when it comes.
Yeah. But what else came up in that direct?
I don't remember.
There was Dragon Quest talked up, which I'm pretty excited about. Oh, they're releasing another Monster Hunter. Generations, or Cross, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, that's happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Virtual Console, which you mentioned, Jamie.
Yeah, so I wanted to know a little bit more about that from you guys, since I'm glad to hear that Jamie actually went ahead and did that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's actually pretty cool. So the Perfect Pixel Mode is
some
actually
good marketing BS right there.
No, that's legit.
It's good marketing BS, but it actually looks really, really good.
So is Perfect Pixel just original resolution?
It's original resolution. It actually makes it a little smaller than the screen, so it doesn't fill up the entire screen.
Yeah.
But then when you turn that option off and you just have it on the normal mode where it's not Perfect Pixel, it's like going back to SD from HD. And you're like, oh my god, I can't do this. No, go back.
See, this is what I talk about all the time with emulated games. Like, you have to display them at their exact old resolution, or else they just look terrible for me.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, it looks fantastic, and when you put it in perfect pixel mode, and it plays, like, flawlessly. And I love having it on the DS. Like, I'll bookend sessions of Conquest with it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's like perfect for that. And you can do the save states thing, so you could be like in the middle of a level and you could be like, I'm bored, and then you could just close it and it'll save exactly where you are. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just really wish that they would get around to having, maybe with NX, I hope with NX, I really wish they would just get around to like ownership across account. So like if I buy I own Super Metroid for Wii U, I would love to just own it for 3DS without having to pay $8 for it.
But you will pay it.
No.
But you will.
No. Even I'm not that crazy. I have lots of other ways to play that game.
Sure.
Jeff, we need your monies. Jeff, we come with new system. 2016. Many failures behind us. Our future depend on you. Please do it.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not.
What if it goes to $5?
No, I got the only Super Nintendo games I picked up, other than stuff that was like actually pretty off the beaten path, that I legit like. I got Demon's Crest for full price on Wii U because I wanted to speak with my wallet on that one and actually like give money for putting out such an interesting and cool old game.
Mm-hmm.
But like Super Metroid, I got it when it was like 79 cents or whatever. Like I got it cheap.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, nice. So yeah, I don't usually buy. I don't think that Nintendo Virtual Console games are a good deal because they're not transferable. I buy like PS1 classics by the boatload, but I don't buy Virtual Console stuff for that reason.
Yeah, so. I hear you there. I really wish that they would wake up and offer that luxury to the consumers, but I don't think it will happen for a long time since people will continue to pay for Super Metroid over and over and over and over.
Well, I think if NX and its handheld brother are as close related as they have intimated, then I think that there's a good chance that could be the moment when cross-buy is a thing. But you know, count on Nintendo to take what would be common knowledge, like common expectations, and just completely upend them and do something terrible.
Sure.
So who knows?
Yep.
But it's cool that they run. Have you noticed any slowdown, Jamie, or anything?
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
It's really flawless.
Huh.
People were mad because they were like, the 3DS could run Super Nintendo games. Why is it the new 3DS? But if you look at the emulation scene, that's actually not true. Like, people have tried to run Super Nintendo games on the old 3DS, and they don't run well.
Huh. So, yeah, that's actually what my biggest question was. Is since I don't have a new 3DS, I can't download these things, right?
No, you can't.
It is, the Virtual Console is exclusive to new 3DS.
Yeah, and that's just because you just... Any SNES, to emulate it well, is actually pretty hard. Like, any, you know, shitty thing can do like a hack job of emulating SNES games. But a good, I mean, you know, as you guys may recall, the best Super Nintendo emulator, which is near 100% like cycle accurate, like requires a top of the line PC. So like it's not an easy console to emulate well. It's an easy console to emulate kind
of. It's because of that mode 7, right? It's all that mode 7.
Part of it is because of the FX chips and all that stuff that they like the chips that were on the cartridge.
Oh,
part of it is because of mode 7.
You're saying the additional chips that would sometimes be included. I gotcha.
Yes. Some of it is mode 7 stuff. There's a lot of potential reasons why, but it's just tricky to do well.
But then resizing and rotating, baby.
Resizing.
The new 3DS though is worth it. Like after playing Steam World Heist, and it's literally a different experience on the new 3DS, and some of my other favorite games on there, like Shantae's Pirate Curse, like that plays better,
mm-hmm.
and the Majora's Mask stuff. Yeah. I can't wait to
get
into.
Does it have multitasking?
and the
nervous
the
laughter
in terms of the difference in terms of just like loading up the store and stuff is pretty substantial.
It's a nice upgrade. I mean, it's far from essential, but it's nice.
Nice.
I think. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. So. But yeah, what was I going to say about Super Nintendo stuff? I don't remember. I guess they could have put like some older games on there. Like they could have taken some stuff that wasn't demanding and thrown it on the 3DS, but.
Oh, sure.
I don't think it's worth it, really. I don't think it's really worth it.
No,
there are definitely games. There are definitely games that would not run well on a regular 3DS. So it's not just bullshit from Nintendo. It's actually pretty legit.
Yeah, I mean, and plus I'm happy because you know I got my F-Zero, or whatever from being an ambassador. Right. Is that Super Nintendo?
Oh yeah.
Or is that the Game
GBA
Boy version?
One? Yeah, it's the GBA one.
Oh,
yeah.
Crap. Well, there we go.
Yeah, and a lot of people point to the GBA releases of Super Nintendo games, but those were not. The same game. I mean, not by a mile.
Oh.
You know, those were very different. The audio was very different. Hmm. The resolution was different. There were lots of tricks to make those games.
Oh my god, you got! I had my amp and my planar magnetic headphones hooked up when I was playing Mario.
Yeah,
and it sounds great, but it's like so legit that like some of the higher pitched noises were like literally tearing into my brain, and I needed to take it off.
Jamie, do your planar magnetics allow you to access the secret Illuminati sounds?
Exactly. Well, actually, whenever I listen to anything on my planar magnetics, I just shit my pants.
Is it because it's like tickling your pituitary gland or something?
It's the brown note. Exactly. It's the brown note. Yeah.
You know, I think that's the best place to play Super Mario World is on a Super Nintendo, on a CRT TV. So that's what I choose to do.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I would if I still had that and if I had room in my house for it, but I don't. Really.
Get a new house and get all that stuff and put it in the house.
Yeah, what's wrong?
No, I play. I actually, it runs pretty well. The emulation scene on Wii, in Wii mode on Wii U, is pretty good. And that's pretty much where I play all my Super Nintendo games now.
Oh, I threw my Wii out. That was weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I do this on Wii mode of Wii U. So.
Oh, no, I got you. I just sparked the thought of, like, the other day I had to throw the Wii out because I went to go play Punch-Out, and I tried to put the disc in, and it just made this, like, horrible grinding noise and kicked the disc back out, and it just was, like, sucked it in and out, back and forth, like, constantly snowballing this.
this is my sexual encounter last week. And in and out, back and forth, and constant snowballing.
So, though Mac was super intrigued by it, I had to just pop the disc out completely, and then...
Did it live, the disc?
The disc survived, yes, fortunately. Good. But yeah, so the Wii is gone. I chucked it.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know. I've never, like, thrown out a console before. It felt really strange.
You didn't try to fix
it? What am I going
to
do with it?
Those problems can usually be fixed. Those, like, the disc feed problems. I remember
you could probably fix it for,
that.
Like, $100.
Yeah, exactly.
The cost of a Wii.
I mean, I could, like, try and pop it open myself and play around with it, but that essentially is just like, it's something that I'll never be able to understand or fix, so cool.
Yeah, you can get a Wii with two Wiimotes, two nunchucks on eBay for $60.
Yeah, yeah, so. I don't.
Also, I feel like the Wii U absorbs the Wii's functionality pretty well.
Exactly. So now
it even augments it. Like you can display on the gamepad if you want to, which is pretty cool for certain situations.
Yeah. So speaking of that, then now the Wii U has absorbed the Wii remote, so I'm happy.
Oh,
it didn't
yeah,
die for nothing.
One of my favorite things to do with the emulators, actually, is I run them on through the Wii U gamepad, and I can, like, play them in bed.
Oh.
It's a little bit, like, hacked together, because you have to, like, balance the Wii U gamepad, and then, like, have a controller in addition to the gamepad.
Yeah.
But it works. It's pretty cool.
Alright. But yeah, update. Hey, I threw out a console. That was strange.
Emulator setup. I did it for a while. It was pretty cool.
Huh. Let's talk about some other news, right?
Oh,
hey,
Griffin.
Guys, what's up?
You throw it a console and you throw it his voice.
Yeah.
And
yep.
You got it back.
What do we have here? Jeff, do you want to talk about more Nintendo stuff with the... what is this? The NX leak?
Oh, the NX rumor?
Yeah.
There's not much to say there. Just basically, apparently, some earlier leaks lined up with some stuff announced, and it looks like Zelda NX and the NX release will probably happen this year. There was a leak, and then the guy who leaked it, like... you know, he, like, deleted everything. Like, he deleted his account, he disappeared off the face of the internet, and some of his earlier leaks about marketing schedules lined up with some stuff that came out, so probably we're looking at the NX this year, and we're probably looking at Zelda NX this year as well.
Well, it makes sense,
and
since...
then Pactor came out.
Oh, I was gonna say, it would make sense, since the Nintendo Direct we were talking about was like, what's coming out in 2016 from Nintendo? And it's like, oh, all those games that we announced for Japan last year. Nothing new, guys. Enjoy.
Yeah, well, that's pretty standard for them. But it's time. It's time. I mean, they're definitely going to reveal this thing at E3. That much is pretty locked. But I it seems likely that it will be coming out this year. Although, who knows? Pactor says otherwise, as Jamie's about to say.
Pactor's the thing on NeoGAF was great because it had what Pactor said, which was that it won't come out in 2016, it'll come out in 2017. And he also said it won't be very good. And the very first comment on NeoGAF was perfect. And the very first comment was, so, 2016, and it'll be very
right.
good.
Yes.
Yes. This is every Pactor thread on NeoGAF is exact opposite of what he says. he's a guy. He also pretty heavily hates Nintendo. Like, when they're doing well, he's like, I don't know why they're doing well. And then when they're doing badly, he's like, yeah, they deserve it. They're really bad.
Wow.
Like, at the height of the Wii's popularity, I think he had a show on Game Trailers or somewhere, and he'd be like, I don't know why the Wii is selling. It shouldn't be.
And this interview is happening as he's, like, laying in a bathtub full of dollar bills.
He's, like, leaning back, legs on the desk, like, in, like, nice. Joe Wall Street's office or
right,
something.
Right, right. Just, like, just pulling out his Coke mirror.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's exciting. I mean, you know, I think E3 is going to be pretty crazy. Despite the fact that Activision and EA won't be there.
Yeah. Also, making it an even crazier E3 is, like, two games are going to be dropping right around that time, and heavy hitters, too.
Which are
Uncharted 4, which got delayed till, what, May at this point?
Did it?
It's no longer a March release, yeah. And also, Jeff, as you foreshadowed earlier, No Man's Sky, which I guess is a real thing that people have played now, and they're like, oh shit, it's just Minecraft. Griff called it a long time ago. And it's a $60 game.
Yeah, it's a $60 game.
Which is fine, because I'm going to Gamefly it regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I always thought it was pretty much like, I mean, the exploration element is very Minecraft. The fact that there is resource gathering is not exactly a new phenomenon.
No.
It's not quite Minecraft levels, it's just like, hit the rod. Did you watch the IGN First video, Griffin?
No, I didn't.
Okay, it's been literally like, here's a rod with resources on it. Hit the rod, and then the resources are yours.
Ugh.
It does look really fun, though. You should watch the video. It looks like a pretty cool game.
Okay.
It definitely looks janky in a lot of areas, but I think the exploration will be pretty top notch. Will it be $60 worth of exploration? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to you because you have the best video game delivery service.
Absolutely. Who shall not be named because they have not USA. Sponsored me yet.
Yes.
Ahem.
But, you know, I'll probably wait for reviews and I may consider it. But yeah, that's finally coming out. And it was running on, I think, a PS4. Because there was that big rumor that it, like, didn't run.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that. Huh.
Yeah, there was a big rumor going around that it was, like, completely, like far too resource-intensive to actually, like, run on a PS4.
Hmm. I still am curious about, like, the interviews that I've been hearing where people went and played it. They asked the developer, like, so, how does the multiplayer work? Like, if we do run into another person, will we see how they've interacted with the environment and world, or see them physically in, like, a digital space? Like, will we see a digital version of their physical body in there? And they're like, eh, you probably won't ever see that. Like, statistically, it's impossible. They're like, but
because we haven't implemented the feature in the game. If it's statistically impossible, what's the point of even putting the feature in? Just tease it. Because
then you can say we have multiplayer.
Yeah, but, like, it's having that system would be such of a cost in terms of, like, development time and also resources for running the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Bring it up with Sean.
Yeah, but $60. That's full price indies. They're here.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you had the Jonathan Blow's thingy, the pee bottle, and then now this.
The piss jug.
Yeah.
I saw the piss jug. The piss jug is real.
Did you watch the video that I suggest
the
you watch?
The piss jug is realer than real, man.
It's
the piss jug is the realest.
It's hyper real, yeah.
Yeah.
It is the augmented reality of this generation.
Jamie, are you ever going to play this game again?
No.
Yeah. So, there's only a secret ending.
Don't you do it.
All right.
We held off last week. When our right. last episode.
Well, last last week in podcast time, which of course is actually each week is 4 weeks.
Double yeah, Fortnite ago.
Piss jugs are involved. Mm-hmm. Only in a peripheral way, though. They're not the focus. Apparently, there may be multiple. I don't know. It's weird.
Multiple piss jugs?
Hey, sure, why not?
Save it for the sequel.
But yeah, that's the Nintendo thing.
Yep.
To go back to the original point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what else happened. A couple of studio closures. Lionhead went out of business. So yep. Fable Legends, that highly anticipated game, will never see the light of day.
Hooray! The game
by pre-order!
That left people scratching their head for years.
Oh, it was a big turd pile. What happens if you pre-order a game at GameStop and you pay your $60 and then they're like, nope, it's gone. The studio's dead.
You get an extra 30 years of that magazine whose name escapes
me. Game Informer? The yep. only game magazine that exists anymore.
That yeah. and Edge, right? Edge is still out there?
Yes. I believe they are on the edge of bankruptcy.
Oh.
No. I don't think they had much of a future.
Oh.
Oh, man. Something British people.
Right, something Euro gamer.
That
game's gone, and you will then be able to change your $60 in-store pre-order to some other game that you would rather be playing, that you should be playing instead opposed to Fable
but
Legends.
Not Rising yeah. Thunder.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, sadly enough, not Rising Thunder. And I think this is the weirdest one of them. And that's that Riot, what is that, League of Legends fools, those guys?
Yeah.
They ended up picking up Radiant Entertainment, the company that essentially made GGPO, and I think, what is it, Smite is another one of their games that's pretty popular right now.
Oh, yeah, I know Smite.
And then...
Isn't that a MOBA as well?
I believe it is, yeah. So more characters to add to the roster, I guess, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But then they're taking the... So you may have been aware that there was a game called Rising Thunder in the making, and it was a fighting game that the creators said, hey, let's make a fighting game that's kind of like Divekick, where you get to the meta early by not having to have, like, cumbersome controls and having, like, the intensity of a match without having the knowledge and, like, studies that it goes into being a competitive fighting game player. So their solution with Rising Thunder was, we're going to have, like, it's just a single button will allow you to do moves. Like, you don't,
which is great.
Yeah, it's perfect for you, it's Jeff, as somebody who doesn't like to do a dragon punch. Like, you just press a button and you do a dragon punch. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you this. That's not true, because there are some, like, input modifications that definitely happen.
I'm okay with input mods as long as they're not stupid and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, no, I guess you're right. There's nothing stupid or ridiculous. So this game, Rising Thunder, is an alpha that's open and available for play right now. And it has the blessing of, like, Seth Killian and like, a lot of the fighting game community and the oversight of it.
So did Seth Killian not actually work on this game? Or did he just, like, concept it or something?
That's where I'm kind of confused now, because I thought I'd hear more information around what happened to him. But I don't know if he was actually employed at Radiant or if he was, like, contracting
out. Maybe it was, like, his baby, and then he's like, well, I've worked at Radiant for a year and a half. I need to move on.
I think so, yeah. He's like, this is what I do now. I do Capcom, and I do Sony, and now I think he was his own entity, and he was working with Radiant to, like, develop this game as, I don't want to say a contractor, but maybe, like, a... what do you call those?
Was he like an Inafune level?
Like, yeah, like a concept, like, man.
Supplying ideas.
Yeah.
Well, those always turn out well.
So, yeah, Rising Thunder...
See also Unsung Story.
The weird thing about Rising Thunder is now with the acquisition of Radiant Entertainment, Rising Thunder is canceled. Like, it will no longer be worked on by the development team. And they said that they're working on something else. So, though there were layoffs, like, some people still did get to keep their jobs, but that thing that was Rising Thunder is no more.
Which is just so weird to me. I don't know why. Like, it is a game that had no... we kind of talked about this the other day, but it's like, it's a game that had no chance to prove itself. It's just like, well, it was visible to the public for a moment, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
It is, because it was a cool idea. And
how does it play?
It plays fine. It, right? It plays great. I enjoy it. Like, I was playing it the other night. I think Friday night, when I was listening to Kesha really loudly and drinking a lot of beer. Because everybody else was asleep, and I'm like, I'm doing this. So I recorded.
I said, tonight we're going hard.
Yeah, that's hard, nice. Hard, I did hard, say that.
Yep.
It plays fun. It plays fine. It's fun.
He's gone.
Uh-oh.
He's a robot.
Oh, no. Okay, well, Rising Thunder, it's good.
No,
it's good.
There'll be a video. He's gone
and
again.
What I really wanted to see was the end product of Rising Thunder, because apparently, like, there were supposed to be anime-style characters that were piloting the mix and would have, like, emotions and stuff that would pop up during the fight. So there was the dog that was piloting, like, a Russian dog piloting a Russian mech, and I was like, that's great. Perfect. I want that so bad.
Although he's gone again.
But we'll never see it.
Yep.
So, speaking of gone again, guys.
Yeah, anime in Russian mechs. I mean, we've seen anime in German mechs.
Woof.
Are you Griffin?
Hey, I'm Griffin. And yeah. I think that's it for our list here. Jeff, you wrote down the vibe. Do you want to talk about that at all? Or
no, fuck that thing. Okay. It's dumb. Okay. Fuck VR forever. I hate VR.
Okay, all right.
No, I don't know. I'm going to wait for it to become the most popular thing ever, and then I'll eat crow. But there's nothing to talk about. People are spending lots and lots of money on a thing that really has not shown that much promise in my eyes. But everyone who tries it says it's amazing.
But the Ouya did so well, and kickstarting things is the future.
Listen, the HTC Vive or Vive is Bernie Sanders supporters. They can't shut up about it, and I don't understand. So, yeah, I think we're good.
We're good. I'm good.
We're good.
You guys good?
You guys want to put a bow on this sucker?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. All right. Put a bow on it, Griffin.
I did. That's the end of the episode. Send
us off with the robot voice.
Episode 3.14 Pi episode. Thank you for listening to Boss Barrel Radio episodes, whatever. I'm Griff Hoffman. With me is people say your names.
Jeff Brewer. Oh, damn it. Jamie, whatever your name is. Damn it, Griffin.
That's me, Damon Griffin.
I'm Damon Albarn.
And I'm Matt Damon.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. 1, 2, 3, 4. La, 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 la. Whatever happened to predictability? Man, the paper boy, the evening TV. Everybody eventually says that they're as lost as you. So everybody shout it together. Hey, don't sell your dreams so soon. My name's Jamie and I like child pornography. My name's Jamie and I like child pornography. My name's Jamie and I like child pornography.